Dear God, we thank you for your word in the Bible. Please help us this morning to hear what it has to say. Let it sink in deep to us. Help us to understand your word, to hold on to it and live it out in our lives. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you turn to our passage, so Luke 8, 1-21, you will see a parable of Jesus. And it is my guess that you have heard this story before. If you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard this one. Even if you're not a church person, you might have heard this one. If not, well, you're going to hear this story today. See, the thing that I find really intriguing about this parable is that I'm not sure there is a single teaching of Jesus that I have seen proved true in my life time and time again, like this one. Yes, there are other bigger, profound truths, right? But most of those are kind of things that will be proved true in the future, when Jesus comes back. But this one, I've just seen it happen again and again and again. What do I mean? Well, I remember looking at this passage when I was leading a youth group over a decade ago with my mate. I'm going to call him George. That's not his actual name. We're going to call him George for this story, who was helping lead. Now, the question at the end of the study was always, well, which soil do you think you are? And everyone wants to answer, yay, the good soil. This guy, George, he led this youth group with me. Later, he led a Bible study at his church. But over time, he lost connection with the friends that he had at church and church itself. And he became more and more interested in the joys and struggles of living in the inner west of Sydney. So craft beer, urban farming, jogging, clever ideas, football. And so at some point, in his words, he stopped doing the Christian thing. The thorns from the story had choked his faith. Now, my friend Leon was always bubbly and full of joy. He grew up in the church in a Christian household, and he was always on a quest for meaning and purpose. But over time, he realized that he was attracted to other men and that his desire for a long-term relationship was incompatible with his faith in Jesus. And so he chose that relationship, and the rocky soil had done its work. Ayla knew theology better than anyone else I knew. She loved reading Calvin and Christian ethics almost as much as she loved shopping. But after her marriage broke down to a man who had also walked away from his faith, she gradually cut off contact with her Christian friends out of maybe shame or embarrassment. And eventually she hooked up with a non-Christian guy and had a baby with him. They're not married. Because her desperate desire for kids won out over the tattered shreds of her faith. Elliot was always destined to be a lawyer. He had the work ethic, the pragmatism, the conservative politics, but just as core to his identity was his faith. Except, well, as you probably know where this is going, the corporate law grind is something else, and after working under immense pressure for insane hours for years and years, the only comforts he found were the finer things in life. In quotation marks. Cars, good wine, travel, rugby union. Some feeble sort of liberal scholarship was the only intellectual excuse he needed to leave his faith behind. And so the thorns had done their job once again. I'm sure you have your own stories from your family, from your friends, people you grew up with in the church perhaps, people who maybe never seemed to quite get the message of Jesus, people who receive it with joy but leave it aside as soon as things get tough, people whose faith gets choked out by nice things, good things, the general concerns of life like family, work, and relationship. I bet you've seen all these things too. But I do also imagine you've also seen those who bear a huge crop, 100 times what was sown. So where are we headed today? So we are looking at the parable of the sower, but not just that. So we have three sections. So the first is this parable. Parable of the sower, or the four soils, and the explanation Jesus gives. Then we have another short parable about the lamp, and then an incident with Jesus and his family. All of these, they center around one key theme. the importance of hearing the word of God. The importance of hearing the word of God. But this hearing is, as we've said already, not just in one ear and out the other. It's not even listening like you do at uni or school to spit out again in an exam later. It's a deeper hearing. It's about holding fast to God's word, about persevering in it, and ultimately doing it. So that's where we are headed today as we look at these three stories and consider what it means to truly hear God's word. So let's turn to chapter 8, verse 1 of Luke, and we'll look at our first story. Before we actually get into the parable, Luke has got a bit of background info to start us off, placing us in the narrative, the big story that he's telling across his whole book. So after Jesus was anointed by the woman in the previous story, he is now going around traveling, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. He's got the 12 with him. These are his closest followers, his disciples, but he also has some women with him too. These are women who he has healed of various things. And these women are quite interesting in the way they show up here. They come from a whole mix of backgrounds. Some of them probably quite poor, some of them quite wealthy. As you see, there's the lady who's the wife of one of Herod's officials. These women, I think, often get overlooked. They kind of get skipped. There is a lot more to say about them in the way that they are supporting Jesus and the disciples. So these guys are wandering around from town to town. Someone needs to kind of make sure they don't all starve. Someone needs to make sure that ministry happens, and it seems like it's these women who are doing it out of their own means, out of their own money. There is a lot more to say about this, but for now, I think we can just take these women and the 12, and we can have them sitting here as reminders and examples of us, of people who have heard the word of God, who are holding fast to it and are doing it, they're living it out. This looks different for different people, and there's space for all sorts to do this, but for now, they are our like gold star examples as we step into this passage of people who hear the word of God and hold fast to it. So let's look at this parable, the parable of the sower, or the four soils, some might call it, which Jesus starts to tell to a gathering crowd in verse 4. If you want to look at it there. Now, my wife Amanda, she is a trained horticulturalist, which means she knows plants. And a big part of her job when she was working in retail nurseries selling plants was basically answering this same question over and over again. It's this one. Why is my plant dying? Now, if you have a plant that is dying, please don't go up and ask Amanda how to fix it after the service. This is like asking a doctor, you know, I'm sick, can you give me a free consultation right here, right? She gets it all the time. Please don't. But that's essentially what this parable is about. It's about, why is my plant dying? So a farmer goes out to sow some seed to grow a crop. Some of it falls on the path and it gets trampled, or it gets eaten by birds. That's why it dies and nothing grows. Some falls on rocky soil or on stone, and when the plant comes up, it withers because it's got no moisture. That's why your plant died. Some grows among weeds, and the thorns come up from the weeds and they choke the poor plants. Again, that's why your plant's not doing well. But some of it falls in good soil. And it grows up and bears fruit, a great crop, lots and lots, 100 times what was sown. This plant didn't die, hooray! Now, some of you here, I suspect you consider yourselves to be experts in dad jokes. You think you are a master of the pun. But Jesus finishes the parable with one that puts you all to shame. That spans time and space and culture and language to land here today. He says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. As in, like, ears on your head, but like, ears of grain as well. It's great, yeah. Really clever. I don't actually know if it's a pun in Greek, but it's a pun in English, so woohoo. Now, understandably, the disciples are puzzled by this whole story, this whole exchange, and not just the line that's going to become a dad joke 2,000 years later. And so they ask Jesus, well, what on earth are you talking about? And so In a rare instance, Jesus actually stops and explains his parable. He says that the seed that the farmer is sowing, which is the key to the story really, is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And we've got a little diagram hopefully behind me to help explain what's going on here. So the seed that falls on the path, those are people who hear the word, but the devil takes it away, and so they don't believe and aren't saved. Nothing happens. The seed on rocky soil are people who receive the word with joy, but fall away when times get tough. They wither because the plant's got no moisture, they don't have deep roots. The seed among thorns are people who hear the word, but are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Note that good things are choking the plant just as much as the worries are. And their plant remains stunted and doesn't mature. And lastly, we have the seed that falls on good soil. These people hold fast to the word of God. They persevere in it through trials and worries and good times. And they produce a great crop, much fruit. That's what our parable means. But what does it mean? Right? What is Jesus actually trying to teach everyone here? Well, I think there's two takeaway messages from this. For the crowds, it's simply about how important it is to hear the word of God, to hold on to it, to hold fast to it, to be the good soil that produces the good crop. That's the one message. For the disciples, whom Jesus is explaining to, it does mean this as well. It means that hearing the word of God is vitally important. But it has another meaning for them as well. See, here Jesus is explaining to them how people will respond to their message about him. He says that some will reject it outright. Some will respond for a time, then give up. And some will respond and bear great fruit. This is really what these confusing verses in 9 to 10 are about. If you want to hear that prophecy from Isaiah about seeing and not understanding, hearing and not listening, that kind of thing. The secrets have been given to the disciples, but some they will hear and they won't understand the message. They will refuse to accept it. They will refuse to hear, refuse to understand. And again, these words of Jesus, I think, are just profoundly true. It's the way things are. It's like he knew somehow. Throughout my whole life as a Christian following Jesus, serving him, I've seen this parable prove true time and time again. It's not just my friends I referenced at the start, and I actually have more stories like that, sadly. But I saw it when I was growing at a Christian school, how the gospel would break through the hardest of hearts, these kids you'd never think in a million years would believe. And then it would just leave others essentially vaccinated against anything Christian. I saw it teaching Sunday school to kids when I was just out of high school. I saw it at uni doing stuff with the Christian group there. I've seen it in my years of youth group leading. I've seen it at church. I've even seen it in my family. People hear the word of God, the message of Jesus, differently. Some have no interest. They refuse to ever hear it. Others hear it in a way that's maybe skin deep but never really commit. Others have their faith strangled by good things. By family, by their career, by whatever it happens to be. And so I suppose we should ask that same old question again. What kind of soil do you think you are? I guess in some ways that's not a straightforward question to answer. And so, you know, when people would come and ask Amanda why their plant is dying, again, please don't do it, they want an instant, easy answer. But the situation is usually more complicated. Well, what kind of plant it is? Is it? Where have you put it? What's the condition of the soil? Are there weeds? Are there bugs? Are there disease? Are you watering it too much or too little? It's nearly always too much. And so for you, it is probably a complicated situation. Are you starting to come under pressure at your workplace to conform, at school, even at home? Is your soil starting to feel a little thin and rocky? Is it easier for you to stay home with the family on a Sunday morning? Or does your job occupy every nook and cranny in your mind? Does your next holiday occupy your thoughts instead of Jesus? Are those thorns starting to strangle you? Where are you at? And perhaps more importantly, what is the remedy if we do start to feel a little thin or a little strangled? For Amanda and the plants, it was nearly always something called white oil. That was nearly always the thing that would fix your plant. Or don't water it so much. The number of times she told that story. Anyway. But for us in this instance, the message of this passage has a fairly clear remedy. Fertilizer to put in your soil, if you like, to make sure you grow well. And that's this. Hear the word of God. Hold fast to it and do it. That's what the whole passage is, in the end, about. Now, you might think I'm pulling a Sunday school answer on you. Read your Bibles, and we're done. Let's go. And in a sense, yes, that's what this is about. We should be encouraged by this passage to soak ourselves in the Word of God. But I sometimes think we have a feeling that we equate 5 minutes of quiet time with godliness. While spending time reading God's Word on your own in the morning, as a lot of you do, is great, I'm not sure it works for everyone. And fortunately, there are more ways than that to get into God's Word. You can try audio Bibles, like audio books. You can listen to it on your commute or while you're riding your bike. Being part of a growth group or Bible study here at TPC is fantastic for getting deep into God's Word with other people. You can listen to sermons online or here at church. You can read the Word when you meet up with a friend, so that you can hear the Word of God in the teaching of Jesus and in the teaching about Jesus that we have in the Bible. This is what is going to help you hold fast to it, to persevere in it, because it will mean the voice you are hearing all the time is God's voice and not the world's. It'll help you do it and live it too. There is one other thing to note about this passage. Yes, Jesus is warning the disciples that people won't always respond well to their message, that people will fall away. But he's also telling them to expect fruit, to expect a good crop, that the word of God will grow and it will produce this huge crop, even 100 times what was sown. And you might be someone who feels the way that I often do. The thoughts that I often feel are about my friends who have fallen away. It's easy to feel a little jaded, like you do all this stuff and nothing happens. You start to expect stones and thorns. But last week I was at Kick. I told you what happened there. People responded. And that, so there will be fruit, even if it often doesn't seem like it. Even if you don't actually get to see the crop come up. It is just as true as the other parts of the parable. Like, think about it. Think of any old faithful follower of Jesus that you know, someone who has followed Jesus for years. Now think of all the conversations that they've had with other people about Jesus. Think of all the time that they've spent in the Word, either by themselves or teaching others. All the teaching they've done in either formal or informal settings. Then think about those people that they've talked to, those people that they've witnessed to, those people that they've taught, and then what those people have gone on to do. You can try the contact tracing game, like back in the COVID days, just to see how far this particular infection has spread. There is good news, and the gospel, the word of God, will bear fruit. And so that's our parable of the sower. And now if we look at verse 16, Jesus keeps going. He's still teaching. I don't think he would have paused. In this, it seems to flow straight on. And we get this story about a lamp from verse 16. He says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it." That doesn't make sense. That's not what you do with a lamp. "And in the same way, everything that is hidden will be revealed." Now, again, we have two options for how we understand this. One option is that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, things will change. So in verses 9 to 10, Jesus says things are hidden, but after he's risen again, the word of him will go out clearly. It won't be hidden anymore to the ends of the earth, and hidden things will be made clear. No one hides this lamp on a stand. The other interpretation, the other reading of this, is that you cannot hide what kind of soil you are in the end. You can't pretend to be on Jesus' team when you're really not. It will come to life. It's like you can't pretend you're listening, like you might pretend you're listening to your significant other, like, yeah, uh-huh. Or at a meeting at work, yeah, that makes sense, of course, yeah. You can't fool, I mean, you can't fool people with that anyway, and you definitely can't fool God. The fruit from your harvest will be counted. And I think this interpretation fits better with verse 18, which says, well, listen carefully, make sure to listen carefully, because more will be given to those who have, and it will be taken from those who don't have. Again, that verse just seems to represent the way things seem to be. Those who are keen for God's word, who get into it deeper and deeper, well, they start to grow in their faith. And those who aren't, who don't want any part of it, well, they start to drift away. So watch carefully how you listen. Are you hearing God's word or not? And now this whole section of teaching is rounded out with a strange story from verse 19 about the mother and brothers of Jesus coming to see him. They can't get in because of the crowds, and so Jesus responds, well, yes, my mother and brother might be here, but my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Literally, it's those who hear it and do it. This might seem odd or a little bit mean to his family, but there is an awesome takeaway for us. See, if we hear God's word and we put it into practice, if we live a life of faith and trust in Jesus, then he considers us family, part of his family. Note again, we have this emphasis Jesus puts on hearing God's word. But he also makes sure to clarify that it also means putting it into practice. And it's worth making a little side note here, because that might sound like you need to do things to be saved. And I don't think that's what Jesus really means. See, in the parable of the sower, he only explicitly says that the seed that falls on the path are people who aren't saved, because they completely reject the word. It's left quite ambiguous about the others, whether they are ultimately saved or not. But either way, we should want to be a part of Jesus' family, right? We should want to be the good soil. He's the one who came down and died for us in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve, offering us life and forgiveness and peace with God through his sacrifice. He's the one who rose again, conquering death. We should want to be on his team. We should want to be part of his family, right? We should want to be his good soil, his crop bearing a great fruit. And here he says that if we hear his word, if we really, truly hear it and do it, then we are his family. What great news. And so given that these three stories, this whole passage is Jesus speaking again and again on the importance of hearing God's word, the importance of deep and true hearing, that leaves us with the question. Well, will you hear? Will you listen? In the Old Testament, the command Shema, which we talked about at the start of the service, means listen, means hear. It's in Deuteronomy 6, 4-5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And this command, hear or listen, doesn't just mean, well, notice the sound. It means hear and obey. Hear it, hold on to it, persevere in it, and do it. And so, will you hear? On offer is a place in Jesus' family. Life with him, not choked by thorns or starved by stones. The offer is available to everyone. Will you hear him? I want to finish with one final story. This is about my friend Pat, and that is his real name. He was part of the same group at school as all the other friends from the start. He went to church with all his mates. He was really excited about Christian stuff. He was even in a band. It was cool. That sang about Jesus. But when we finished school, most of us went off to uni. Pat didn't know. He did a gap year, and that turned into a gap several years. His job was selling expensive raffle tickets. And he stopped going to church. He lost contact a bit with his Christian mates. He got involved with people from his work, going out, getting hammered, drinking a lot. We didn't see him much, if ever. But some of his mates did keep in contact with him. They kept chasing him. And Pat came back. He came back to church. He heard the word of God and was convicted by it. He started serving. Not only that, after a couple of years, He did what Isaac is doing now. He did a ministry apprenticeship. Recently, Amanda and I, we attended the wedding of one of our friends who had walked away from Jesus. I tend to find non-Christian weddings pretty kind of cringy and awkward, even at the best of times. And we were braced for the worst here, coupled with the fact that this friend used to be a follower of Jesus. And so I can't really properly describe my joy when we showed up and we saw Pat up the front with his collar on, ready to take the ceremony. See, Pat is now an Anglican minister, and he is serving Jesus every day of his life. At this wedding, he preached the gospel faithfully and boldly to all of our friends who have walked away. He heard the word of God. It sunk into his heart, and he held onto it. He is holding onto it now, persevering in it, and bearing a great crop, even 100 times what was sown. Jesus, I think, calls Pat his brother. And that's my prayer for all of us. Not that we'd end up Anglican ministers, but that we would hear God's word, that we would hold on to it tightly, that we would persevere in it and bear a great crop 100 times what was sown. Let's pray now. Now, Lord Jesus, we want to hear what you have to say. Help us to hold on to your word when times are good and when times are hard. Help us to persevere, cling to it, that we might bear a great crop. Help us to trust in you and keep following you all the days of our lives. And we pray this now in your mighty name. Amen.